Good to see you all again. It's a pleasure each time coming to Felton. When I look at the calendar and I know that I'm coming to Felton, I genuinely look forward to it. I feel always very welcome when I come to Felton. Thank you for inviting me again, and I enjoy the fellowship together with you. Now, Mark did tell me, I mentioned before, that somehow it seems that I always get invited when there's a fellowship meal. I do appreciate that, but Mark told me that there isn't a fellowship meal today. But even so, I look forward to it. To share in the, to feast on the bounty of God's word together. And in the fellowship together with the saints. Now, in looking at God's word today, right at the beginning, I want you to think about a house chore that you have at home, which you're most reluctant and unwilling to do. Now, I see maybe some husbands and wives are looking at one another. But one of the things that I have in my house, so the binmen come to our house on Monday mornings. So on Sunday, after I return back from church, my brother and I take turns each week. And the job that I am most reluctant to do is to take out the food waste bin and take out the bag and put it into the big one. Now, one of the reasons for this is my brother and I, we both like to cook. And sometimes, especially during the summer, you'll see all this kind of food waste with the liquids coming out. And it sometimes ferments when it's really hot. And I just don't like taking it out. It's a bit, yeah, it's something that a bit dirty that I don't like to do. Another one that I'm unwilling to do is the gardening. So the gardening, we're trying to have it as simple as possible, but there's a part of the garden which is covered with thorns and thistles, and we're quite reluctant to do any work on it. But you can think about something similar, where you're unwilling or most reluctant to do a certain house chore. It might be changing nappies, or you're just fed up with having to cook another meal. Can't we just get a kind of takeaway or something? So there may be various things that you're unwilling to do. Now I say this, now I'll ask you this question, because today we'll be looking at Jesus' willingness to cleanse the unclean. Something which others would have been unwilling to do. It would have been out of their minds, but Jesus is willing to do this thing which others were unwilling to do. Now Mark's Gospel, it tells us of Jesus' identity and mission, who he is and why he came and how we are to respond. And right from the beginning, we see Jesus not just through what others say. So Mark talks about how he is Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. John the Baptist talks about how he is far greater than John himself. And the thongs of his sandals he is unworthy to touch because Jesus is so great. God the Father says of him, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." But not only through what other people say, but through his deeds, we start to see who Jesus is. That Jesus is the promised King who has come now to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. He shows his power and authority in his teachings. He shows his power over spiritual evil, casting out demons. He shows his power even over sickness, over natural evil. And we see him reversing the effects of the fall, effects of sin which enters into the world. Now here, we see him show his power to make clean. Now it's different, this power is different from just the power to make a room tidy or anything like that. And it's different, I would say, from just healing someone, which Jesus does also have the power to do. And I'll go on to explain a little bit about what this power that Jesus had is. But not only do we see his power to make clean and to cleanse the leper, we focus, the emphasis of this passage here, is on the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ to do this. And so the main idea that I want you to have from this sermon, from this message today, is that Jesus, in his power, isn't only able to make you clean, but in his compassion, he is willing to make you clean. And I hope that none of us will doubt the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ to work in our lives. So first, what is leprosy? What is this skin disease that this person had? We see in verse 40, a man with leprosy came to Jesus. Now Jesus traveled throughout Galilee. We see this in the first chapters. And news spread of his healing and he's casting out demons. And people sought after him. This leper came to him, we read in Luke's gospel, into one of the cities. It would be in a crowded place. And Luke also, being a physician, describes him as being covered with leprosy. It was not a minor case of leprosy, just a skin disease that might not be seen by other people. But it was a severe case of a skin disease that this person had, what is described here as leprosy. Now, what is leprosy? What is this man's problem? Was it just a medical issue, or is there more going on? I hope to look at this. Now first, in order to understand what was happening to this man, what the condition of this person was, is to have in mind that when the Bible uses the term leprosy in the Hebrew and in the Greek, it doesn't necessarily mean leprosy as we have in mind. So the medical term that's used is Hansen's disease, but when the Bible often has the word leprosy, it refers to various skin diseases which are often infectious. So if you see the footnote, footnote F in your Bibles, under 40, it says the Greek word was used for various diseases affecting the skin, not necessarily leprosy. But nonetheless, the idea of leprosy is helpful. Hansen's disease is a chronic infectious disease by bacterium affecting the nerves, skin, eyes, and nose. Thankfully, now there is treatment for it, which was discovered in the 1940s. And it's caught not necessarily by touch, but by the infected droplets. So when it's kind of sprayed out and so on. But historically, as you all know, it was very feared because of the visible disfigurements and disabilities that it brought about. It was thought to be incurable and very infectious. And so there were leper colonies that were set up to have people kind of separate from the rest of society. And so this man may or may not have had Hansen's disease, but what we do know is that he had a serious skin disease of some sort, which is likely to be infectious. Now the second point that I want to say to explain what this person's condition is, to understand this person's condition, actually, rather than thinking about Hansen's disease, although it is slightly helpful, to know the nature of his skin disease and his problem, we can do so better by looking at the book of Leviticus. Now, in Leviticus, there's various rules and regulations, but the priests had one of their jobs, like doctors, of examining possibly infectious skin and diagnosing the disease. Now, if you turn with me to chapter 13 of Leviticus, we see how there's regulations about infectious skin disease, and it gives a lot of the details there. But just to kind of give a little summary, if the person examined had an infectious skin disease, the priest would pronounce this person to be ceremonially unclean. Now, what does this mean for the person to be unclean? Surely it just means that, isn't it that they are diseased? Just what does it got to do with cleanness and so on? The Lord gave the Old Testament people rules about what is considered ceremonially clean and unclean to train them. And I think that's what's happening with the case of leprosy or the case of the skin disease. And so they were given rules about what food is unclean or what person was unclean. Now, it's not that these foods or these persons which became ceremonially unclean were morally unclean. For example, just because pigs were considered unclean, there's nothing immoral about eating pigs. But nonetheless, the Lord gave these rules to them to help them distinguish between, as a lesson for them, to learn that the Lord makes a distinction between something which is clean and unclean, to train them, as it were. And so, for example, as long as this person who had the infectious skin disease was unclean, he remained so and lived alone outside the camp. They were separated from where the other people were. And so it was a lesson that was given to show what the effects of sin was, as it were. A picture. So at the center of the camp that the Israelites stayed in was the Holy of Holies, the tent of the tabernacle. And as you get further and further out from the presence of God, outside the camp, there is things which are associated with death. So at the middle, there is things associated with life. So God is life. And then outside, there is death. So it was a picture that was given to the Israelites to understand what sin does. And so in verse 45 of Leviticus 13, this is what the unclean person was to do. The person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of his face and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone. He must live outside the camp, outside from the presence and the people of God. So it was a visual lesson of what the corrupting effects of sin is. And so this person, this man, who was full of leprosy, covered with leprosy, would have worn torn clothes, have his hair unkempt, and cry out, unclean, unclean, when people came near him. He was separated from the community and from the place of worship, the temple and the tabernacle. And he was alone or was together with other lepers, as we see in the Gospels at times when lepers stay together. And the first point that I want to make with you as a point of application, as we look at this condition of leprosy or infectious skin disease, is to recognize our problem of the leprosy of sin. Now, the Lord, throughout the scriptures, uses various ways to teach what sin is and does. And we see it in Mark's various illustrations of sin as well, in which Jesus has power over. It's to be under the power of spiritual evil, for example, with demon possession that we see. It's to be disabled, or it brings about death, as we see with the case of the sick woman. And as we see with the case of this person who is leprous, we see that sin is something which is infectious and something which makes us unclean before God. Let's think about how sin is infectious. Sin can so easily be sin is something which can easily be caught by other people. It's as we see with maybe a cold or something like that, which can be easily caught by someone, caught from someone. Sin likewise is infectious and has a corrupting effect to other people. And also, not only can it be easily caught, it can be easily spread by us in our lives. Sometimes we see when children are near us, around us, and they observe our lives, we can see how they copy some of the good things, but sadly they copy a lot of the bad things as well. We see how sometimes those bad habits and sinful things are spread in our lives. And it's easily caught in the churches. We so easily catch the values and practices of this world rather than to be the salt and light of this world at times, don't we? So we can think about the infectious nature of sin. But also, not only that, we can think about the hideous nature of sin as well. We may look beautiful on the outside, but inside, sin disfigures us and makes us ugly before God. There's a proverb that I really like in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 22, which explains something of this point. In there it says, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. The outside and the inside is different. Now, when I read that proverb before in Hayes, one of the ladies came to me and asked, Chungman, could you say something that the men could hear as well? So not something which just applies from the Proverbs to the women. Now, there are a lot of Proverbs which mention the folly of men in the book of Proverbs. But I thought I would make a modern one myself and see whether it might stick. So a similar one of outside beauty but inward ugliness. And the one that I thought of is, I hope that it won't offend too many people, but I hope it just sticks so the point is made. Now, the one that I thought of was, a fool with six-pack abs is like a well-sculpted turd. Now, if you think about it, you can see how on the outside it might be all valuable and so on, but truly in the inside, being foolish, they are ugly before God. Now, sin in its true form is repulsive and ugly. It makes its ugly, it masks its ugly face well, but it's truly grotesque when the mask is unveiled. And so as we think about sin in our lives, when it tempts us, when it draws us in with its attractiveness, we must not forget its hidden ugliness. Not only is sin infectious and hideous, but sin makes us unclean. No matter how physically clean we might be, sin makes us unclean before God. Sin makes us a stench before God. And makes us also feel dirty in ourselves. The conscience cries out, doesn't it, when we sin against God and against one another. And ultimately our sins, as it does with the leprous person, it separates us from God. How much of an insider you might be in this world, whether you're accepted by so many friends and people around you, sin makes you an outsider before God. Sin makes us, even as Christians, feel an absence of God's presence, as it did for David when he sinned against God. And it feels a loss of the sense of the joy of salvation and the presence of God. And we may deny these things sometimes in our lives, of these effects of sin, what sin is like. But if we see this truth, if we see ourselves in the most honest moments through the mirror of God's word, we see these things to be true about sin and about ourselves. And if we haven't experienced yet the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives to make us clean, this describes our sad condition and our greatest problem in our lives. You may be the most healthy person in this room, but you're the most diseased if you haven't been changed by Christ. You may be the most attractive in our midst here, but you'll be the most hideous before God. The most clean, but most unclean before God. And most loved by people, but most separated from God himself. So have you recognized the problem of the leprosy of sin and have sought to seek after the Lord Jesus Christ to be made clean? Now, I will assume that the scriptures know, Mark knows that Jesus has the power to make this person clean. But in this episode here that we see, what we see emphasized is not just the power of Jesus, but more the willingness of Jesus. See the question that the leprous person asks. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." The man doesn't beg to be healed, but more to be cleansed. And that's the distinction between being cleansed and being healed, thinking about the background that I just mentioned. But the man also doesn't seem to doubt Jesus' power to make him clean, but more his willingness to make him clean. He doesn't say, "If you are able, make me clean." But he seems to assume that Jesus is able. But what is that question, what is that doubt that he has in his mind is the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse him. Now, imagine the experience that this man with leprosy or infectious skin disease had in his life. Being unclean, he had to live outside a camp. He would have been considered undesirable by others, untouchable in relation to the camp. Nobody would have been willing to come near him. And his experience would have been one of rejection and separation. And you often find that people who live life in such circumstances can be like this. They were so used to being rejected that they're reticent to receive love. Sometimes I find when you speak to people who might be very much rejected, maybe homeless, for example, they're reticent to receive compassion and love from other people. They're sometimes skeptical and doubtful of the love that people can give at times. But thinking about this man's experience, what he has gone through all his life because of the infectious skin disease, what is Jesus' response? Does Jesus remove himself away from the man to avoid becoming unclean himself? No. Jesus, moved with pity, filled with compassion, it is deep emotions that he's feeling. He stretches out his hands towards the infectious man and touches him and says, I'm willing. Be clean. Now, imagine the situation. Imagine that scenario. Imagine the shock on the face of the disciples. They will be thinking, this man is unclean. What is Jesus doing? Doesn't Jesus know that he will become unclean himself if he touches him? But also imagine the love on Jesus' face himself. Seeing this man, others may be unwilling to touch you or to cleanse you, but not me. I'm willing to reach out, stretch out my hand and to touch you. Imagine the amazement on the man's face himself. You're willing to touch me? Someone like me who has to be outside a camp, who people keep distant from, to willing to touch me and to cleanse me? He would have been amazed by this thing. Now, when you think about what Jesus does here, if you think about Jesus' power to make clean, we can think, does Jesus necessarily have to touch this man to make him clean? I mean, Jesus can just say, be clean, and he can be clean. But the fact that Jesus touches this man, I think is speaking to this person's feeling of, maybe I won't be touched. The experience of being rejected that this man has had. And Jesus comes with compassion and lays his hand on him to show his love and affection. Now, what I want you to see from Jesus stretching out his hand and touching this man is that we ourselves, that you will not doubt the willingness of Jesus to save you, to cleanse you, to work in you. Now, there may be different reasons that some people have of not having experienced Jesus' power to save them in their lives. Some people might be too stubborn or proud, like the Pharisees that we see in the Gospels. Some people may be too familiar with Jesus, and we see that with Jesus' family. Some may want him for the wrong reasons, and we see that sometimes with a crowd in the Gospels. But some, I think, like the person here, may be too timid or reticent to receive God's love, to know that Jesus is willing to work in us and to cleanse us and to save us. You yourself may have experienced much rejection in your life, distrustful of love from others, even from God himself, and may be somewhat reticent to receive that grace. You may relate well to this man whom others found repulsive, hideous, untouchable, and unclean. Now, to be honest, when I was kind of thinking about this, I have to confess that myself, when I was growing up, there was a sense in which I could relate to this man, in that when I was younger, when I was kind of in my teenage years and before that, I really liked to eat. I still do, but I joke around with some of the kids about having 5 bowls of rice when I was younger and so on. My mum was a good cook, but I was also a very greedy child. The doctors said I was morbidly obese. So you can kind of imagine what it's like growing up as an obese child. And so sometimes you kind of have that insecurity as a fat kid in the school. Sometimes the kids kind of making fun of you and so on. I wasn't too bad about it, but nonetheless, even when I grew up, now being in the ministry, I find I'm sitting a lot and I'm not exercising as much. I think I'm gaining a bit more weight. But before, there was a time when I started to exercise much more, started to do some weights. My body didn't look too bad. It was okay. But even at that time, I have to say that there was this insecure fat boy inside a muscular adult. And there's feelings of insecurity that I had. And a reticence to be loved, to love or be loved by other people. And you might somehow be able to relate to those kind of things yourself. There might be various insecurities that you might have. That stops you from being able to receive love from others. Or even kind of being, even thinking that, is this person willing to love me? To see yourself and thinking that surely they won't love me. Now, it was helpful when I was going through those things of knowing my parents that regardless of what I look like, they would love me. There would be that unconditional love. And we see this with God himself. Regardless of how ugly we might be, or we considered ourselves to be, regardless of how fat or skinny we might be, the Lord Jesus is willing to work in our lives. And this, although we have this great problem of sin, which makes us unclean before God, may you not forget that Jesus is willing to make you clean. Now, sin should, in some sense, make us insecure. Sin does separate us from God, and it is something which has caused us to feel insecure as to whether we stand right before God. But nonetheless, not putting our securities in ourselves, with this passage, we're seeing Jesus' power and his willingness to make us clean. Put your security, sense of security, in Jesus Christ himself. And know that he is always willing to come and to deal with us. See Jesus stretching out his hand to touch the man. And I'm sure he's done this very thing to many people here. To cleanse us, to save us, to restore us. If you haven't been cleansed by him already, go to Jesus with all your sins, with a great desire to be made clean. Go to him knowing how important it is to have this problem of sin dealt with. Go to Jesus. Go to him. He is filled with compassion as he sees us. And he will reach out his hand and touch us and make us clean. Don't doubt the willingness of Jesus to save you and to make you clean. But also, as believers, although we have been cleansed by Jesus and have been saved by him, may we continue to not doubt in his willingness to save us. I find sometimes amongst Christians, when I talked with others, often when Christians encourage one another, it's very helpful. And we often don't doubt, for example, that the Lord is willing to help our sister or our brother in Christ, that the Lord is willing to help others. But sometimes we doubt whether the Lord is willing to help me, whether the Lord is willing to help us to overcome the sin that we have in our lives, to help us in our circumstances. But may you see Jesus here, willing to stretch out his hand to touch the leper, to remind yourself that Jesus is always willing to work and save his people. Jesus was willing to die on the cross even yet whilst we are yet sinners. How much more will Jesus continue to be willing to save us and to cleanse us? May we, especially as Christians, not doubt the willingness of Jesus to continue to save us. Now, I'm tempted to stop the sermon here, but we see with the final passage that we see in this section from verse 43, Jesus sends the man away at once with a strong warning. And there's questions raised as to what's going on. Why is Jesus so harsh? You might think, why is Jesus not being compassionate to this man? And so I wanted to kind of look at this last section and explain a little bit regarding those questions. So he warns, gives a strong warning to the man saying, see that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. And that section, in regards to the instruction for the cleansing, we saw in Leviticus chapter 14. Now first, Jesus, in the beginning of his ministry, is aware of misunderstandings and wrong expectations that people will have regarding his ministry. And so sometimes he's telling people to not spread news about him as quickly because false understandings will happen regarding him. So that's one of the main reasons, I believe, for Jesus kind of saying this to him. And we can also kind of learn ourselves about how we may often speak about Jesus to others, but people might have wrong expectations about Jesus Christ. And we need wisdom and prayer to be able to tell Jesus correctly and appropriately to others about him. But also Jesus here, Jesus wants this man to keep God's law. Even if the Old Testament ceremonial laws that we read of in Leviticus, or even though these laws were passing away, Jesus wanted this man to fulfill it. And for us, we can have in mind, just because we are saved from sin and no longer under God's condemnation, it doesn't mean that we are exempt from the law of God. We have God's laws, the Ten Commandments, that we may please God, having been freed from the condemnation of the law that we are under in before. So it's important to follow after and obey God's laws even though we are completely freed from the condemnation of the law. But also Jesus wants this man to offer sacrifices commanded in Moses' law as a testimony to himself and to others. And we see in Leviticus a beautiful picture of how this person is made clean. Of how the person is to take two live birds, and one bird is to be killed, and the live bird is dipped in the blood of that bird, along with cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet yarn, and the bird is released. It's a tremendous picture of how through the death of one creature, one bird, the other bird is released. And so the person who has been cleansed would have seen that there was the death of someone needed for them to be cleansed and to enter into the presence of God. It was a picture of the Lord Jesus' atonement. And so the leper would have seen this and thought, how beautiful is the atonement that the Lord gives. And so Jesus wants this person to be reminded of that. Likewise, when we are saved ourselves, when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus commands us to be baptized. It's a beautiful testimony of being cleansed by Jesus, isn't it? To be dead in our sins, but to be risen together with Christ. Jesus gives these things as a beautiful picture, as a testimony to us and to others around us. But also finally, the cleansed man who now speaks freely. Where is he? Before, right at the beginning of the passage, we see him as an outsider. He is outside the camp and he comes in to find Jesus. But where does he end up in the episode here? He speaks freely as an insider in the towns. But where is Jesus after this episode, in this episode, right at the end? Right at the beginning, we see Jesus as an insider. But because of this man, he takes this man's place, as it were, as an outsider. Jesus is willing to face this consequence. He is willing to become an outsider for this man's sake. He had to go in lonely places. He couldn't enter openly into towns. And so we see Jesus take the place of this leper. The leper comes inside, whereas Jesus goes outside. He's willing to face this consequence. And he was willing even to suffer on the cross outside a camp, as we read of on Hebrews, on the cross, in order to sanctify his people through his blood, to make his people come inside into the presence of God. So when we doubt perhaps the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus dying on the cross as an outsider, being forsaken by his Father, should be the clearest proof to us that Jesus is willing to make us clean. He was willing to take upon himself the ugliness of sin. He is willing to take upon himself the punishment that we deserve as the suffering servant to make us clean. So when you perhaps have a house chore that you're reluctant or unwilling to do, remember Jesus' willingness to save and cleanse wretched sinners like us. And may his willingness to reach out his hand, touch unclean sinners like us, to stir us to reach out to others. I must confess, there are times in church life when I'm not willing to kind of be involved as much in some pastoral issues and so on. But seeing Jesus' willingness should inspire me to be willing myself to be engaged in certain, in those things which I'm unwilling to be engaged in. May his willingness to bear upon himself the shame of the cross inspire us also to serve one another in love as Christians. Even though there may be people who are difficult to love at times and whom we are unwilling to serve and love, may we remember the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus isn't only able to cleanse us, but in his great and abundant compassion, he is willing to cleanse us. Go to him if you haven't been cleansed by him already. Know that he is willing and able to cleanse you. And may we as Christians never doubt the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ to work with in our lives with his grace. Let's come to the Lord together in prayer. Let's pray. Almighty God, Lord, though we are wretched sinners, we thank you for the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ to enter into this world, to enter into our lives, and to touch us, and to cleanse us. Lord, to make a wretch his treasure. Lord, how amazing it is that Jesus would see us in our sinfulness, in our ugliness, in our infected state, and be willing to die on the cross, to take upon himself that infection, that disease, that ugliness, that hideousness, to be forsaken by his Father, to take the place of the outsider, that we might come in to the presence of God. We thank you for Jesus' willingness to bear upon himself the cross, to cleanse unclean and hideous sinners like us, that we may be accepted in him by the Father. So Lord, if there's any who are doubtful of Jesus' willingness to save them, to love them, to cleanse them, Lord, we pray that you would cast away any doubts, that they would run to the Lord Jesus Christ and have the problem of the leprosy of sin solved, that they would know his cleansing power and know his amazing love. And may we as believers continue to trust him, continue to hold on to him, continue to know of his willingness to work in our lives, that we may continually be transformed by his amazing grace. For we pray this all in Jesus Christ, our Savior's name. Amen.